Dear Internet, having a lovely time at the beach. Wish you were here. Love and kisses from Python Import Podcast. My name is Mike Piernot. I'm here with
Mike Crute,
with occasional interruptions by Mike's laptop.
And somewhere in the dark is Corey Sitko being very, very quiet. Hi, Corey. And this is the vacation episode of From Python Import Podcast. We are just chilling out and having a really great time, and we're going to see how things go. This is all being recorded with the Voice Memo app on my iPhone, so audio quality may vary a little bit and may not be quite as consistent with what you're used to from us, but it should be fun. Let's give it a shot. So we're on the beach doing a podcast, because that's really freaking crazy. It's the 4th of July. It's 2010. The world is going to hell, but at least Germany's in the World Cup still, and there are fireworks, and we're on a beach. Yay.
Hey. Hello, lake.
Of course, this is no longer true. Germany were defeated in the semifinals by Spain, with the help of Paul, the prognosticating octopus. Better luck next time, Deutschland.
Hello, lake. We've got waves, we've got fireworks. It's a beautiful night.
Well, it's a bit sultry.
I still would call it relaxing, mostly.
Yeah, not quite the same nice, clear, star-filled night with the ISS transit and everything that we got to see last night, and the fire and whatever.
No, but it's comfortable. It's a little overcast, but, you know, back in the house it was about 90 degrees and, like, 95% humidity, and out here it's comfy.
Yeah, so the theory is that when it's 90 degrees in the house and everybody's just laying around all flopped in a pool of sweat, you really can't think of podcast topics. So we came down to the beach to cool off and think, and, well, gee, that has worked out really well. Margaritas may be somewhat to blame for that, but, yeah.
So I think that we've kind of got to talk about happy topics, right? I mean, we're on vacation, we're on the beach.
Yes.
Only happy things.
Only happy things. So Mike, tell me happy things that come to mind when I say Python.
No braces is definitely a big thing, you know? It's just nice and easy to read. Although, lately, I've heard some rumors that Python cannot be as beautiful as Ruby. So, I'm kind of interested in that.
I have my own feelings about Ruby, and I don't want to anger anyone by sharing them. So I won't.
You realize we totally opened this podcast first episode by ripping on Ruby. You can go for it.
So, how is it even... Now, we're going to be happy things. We're going to a happy place. I'm going to be better than that. I'm not going to start a language flame war, even though Python is clearly better than Ruby. You know, I find that when I want to write pseudocode, I end up just writing Python. It's very comfortable. It makes me very happy. I can just grab a piece of paper and start writing code down on it and get through my, you know, sort of solve my problems that way. Oh, here comes a police officer on his ATV to make sure we're not shooting off fireworks or causing too much trouble.
Good thing we shot all of ours off earlier tonight.
Yeah, all the ones that we bought at the sketchy place across the street.
Absolutely. We're lucky they had anything. But I think you ultimately can write really beautiful Python, and probably almost as simple as Ruby. I don't know. Gary contests that blocks are necessary, but I don't know really how I feel about blocks just yet. I really don't think it's probably necessary in Python.
I had a long and very torrid love affair with list comprehensions, and I still kind of carry a torch for them. Much less painful to me than the crazy Lambda stuff.
The old school MapReduce stuff?
The old school MapReduce stuff really kind of hurt to read for me, and list comprehensions are just so nice and elegant and wonderful. I keep finding myself wanting to use them in other languages.
You know, and generator expressions are a nice extension of that, too. But what are some of the great things you've done with list comprehensions?
I like list comprehensions to instantiate objects when I'm, you know, munging through a data set from set of database results. I say, I would like me a list of objects and blah, and here's the stuff, and boom, done.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you can accomplish in one line of code. You know, what that would have been a for loop and an if statement and all kinds of other stuff before.
Right. Sort of filtering things, get me everything that I want from this data set to, you know, break it into like two or three different lists. It makes it really nice to do that instead of having to go write some other big construction to shovel that data around.
Have you played with the new comprehension type things in Python 3, like dictionary comprehensions?
So I am about to lose a major crap ton of Python street cred here. I have not played with 3 yet.
Really? Why? Is it? Do you hate it like the people on the mailing list, or you're just undecided yet?
Oh, I don't hate it at all. I just feel like if it's not really practical for me to use it right now, I don't want to burden my mind with it. I have come to the realization that I only have so many cycles to cope with everything from, you know, the whole work-life balance stuff I've got to keep in my head all the time aspect of things, and I'm sure that when the time comes, I will love it, and at that point, it'll be ready for me. It just seems like it's maybe not quite there yet, but and that's to be expected. I mean, everybody said it's going to be a couple of years to transition.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that Python 3 goodness out in 2.6. And since we're talking about happy topics, 2.7 just came out.
Yay, 2.7. Hooray. Congratulations to all the Python core dev people. It looks very exciting and pretty, and I'm sure we'll find a way to upgrade to it next summer or the summer after the summer after that.
It'll be next summer for some definition of next summer. Maybe we can get our cohort Dave to hurry that along a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have to check in with him about it. What else is awesome? That sponsored sprint thing looks kind of cool.
What's the sponsored sprint thing? Haven't heard about it.
Well, I think the website actually went public accidentally early today. Somebody was promoting it without realizing that it wasn't quite ready, and I think Jesse Noller, I saw him tweeting today that it wasn't quite open for business, but he was scrambling to make it happen. It looks like the PSF is going to be, maybe it's the PSF, I need to read more about it, but it looks like there will be sponsored sprints to work on and improve Python as an ongoing regular thing.
So is it like the PSF's giving money out to people to do sprints, or is known about it?
So I've just, you know, seen stuff that's kind of filtered across Twitter over the past couple days, and I've been totally on vacation mentally, physically, spiritually, metaphorically, hypothetically, philosophically.
Tell me about it. I haven't checked my email since I got here.
Yeah, being on vacation is totally awesome. I don't know. I would imagine that it's going to be support both logistically and financially to make them happen. So I would imagine that's assistance with getting a venue, network access, promotion, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's kind of cool. It seems like a lot of things that Python really needs or would benefit from just need a little bit of some kind of commercial sponsorship to get going. Much the way kind of Java's enjoyed the whole commercial world giving it features.
Yeah, maybe that's probably something we should ask Jesse about, if we can schedule time that works for us.
Yeah, if I learn to not fail at scheduling Jesse, that's... I think we've gone around three times now, and most of the time I've failed.
Right.
But we'll have Jesse on soon, I hope.
For the record, the Python Software Foundation's sponsored Sprints initiative provides organizational and financial support to Python-focused coding and hacking sprints over the upcoming year. You can learn more about it at pythonsprints.com.
So other happy things. I hear that the Mercurial move for Python's finally starting to kind of get discussed again.
Yeah, I saw some of the chatter that Tarek was talking about, where they're proposing patch queues and patches for everything instead of full-on pulls and merges to make sure that people aren't inundated with a million little I added this file, I removed this file, I added this file, I removed a file kind of things. And also, I think then we'll end up preserving attribution correctly for people who are contributing. So that's a good thing, and it seems like that met with from a, you know, pretty much universal consensus.
Yeah, and I think the whole Mercurial transition really helps lower the barrier to entry for committing to core Python, because right now, if you don't have that SVN commit bit, you've got to go through the bug tracker, and that tends to be slow, and code reviews and all that. But if we can really get the DVCS working, we can kind of move in the direction of everybody can kind of help Python. There's also a new thing going around the mailing list about threading and the GIL. I think the new threads module tries to introduce Java-style synchronization to Python. Have you heard about that?
Only the barest minimum. I've been kind of swamped, but I saw things that sounded exciting, so tell us more.
Well, it really doesn't solve the whole problem, because it doesn't add locking to everything in the interpreter, but it kind of attempts to add some of the synchronization features of Java, and I'm by no means an expert on it. I've just kind of read casually some of the mailing list threads, but it you can subclass a synchronized class, and it does kind of a lot of the synchronization stuff that Java's synchronized keyword does for you.
Right, but then that means that you're somewhat architecturally constricted to the way that it wants you to do your synchronous programming or your shared state type of stuff, right?
Yeah, it is a little bit limiting, and it doesn't really fix the whole problem. Michael Ford responded with a little bit more detail that I'm just slipping my mind right now, but there are a couple other complications with that idea. And I don't know, I think Python really kind of needs something like synchronized, ultimately. But it sounds like there's more to solve in that problem. Threading in Python's kind of complicated thing.
What else makes us happy about Python right now? I will forever love dateutil. I don't understand why it's not in the standard library. It really should be. It was close once upon a time, and then certain parties who I forget, it looks like there was a whole thread of conversation that spun out of control about the date parsing being too fuzzy by default and not explicit enough, and then the whole thing kind of fell apart, which is a shame because it's a great library, and if you want to do anything with time zones or recurrence or date parsing, you owe it to yourself to just install dateutil and move on with your life, because it's awesome and feels good.
People need to just calm down a little bit about standard library inclusion. You know, things don't have to die there, but I think we already did a topic on that. So, other things that make us happy in Python. Boy.
There's a bunch of PyCons going on lately. There was just an Australian one, right? And, where was the other one? There was another one like a week beforehand or 2 weeks beforehand.
Wasn't that EuroPyCon over in Europe? Or that was DjangoCon, maybe. There was a DjangoCon recently in Europe.
Italy's PyCon Italia was held in May. Then we had PyCon Asia Pacific in mid-June. PyCon Australia just wrapped up at the end of June. And EuroSciPy was just a few days ago. PyCon Ireland and EuroPython are coming up very, very soon, within the next week. Registration is open for PyCon India, which will feature an intriguing Hello World track for beginner speakers and audiences. The Polish PyCon has its proposal deadline in a matter of days. I don't know what date it will be since that text is burned into an image and Google isn't smart enough to translate it yet. The French PyCon is coming in August. The US DjangoCon has just closed its call for papers. It will be held in early September. Both Argentina and Brazil have PyCons in October. Finally, Kiwi PyCon is currently accepting talk proposals, but the deadline is coming up fast. It will be held in November. For more information, visit PyCon.org.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to go to these things, but meh.
Yeah, the whole work life thing kind of messes with that a little bit. But actually, that's a great point. The Python community, with PyOhio coming up and some of the other local Python conferences, you're kind of reminded of how awesome the community really is. Of all the languages I've been involved with, is probably one of the more friendly communities, wouldn't you say so?
Oh, definitely. Although I wasn't really involved with any other community until the Python community, so I was never like really compelled to be part of a Perl community or a Java community or any kind of thing until, frankly, went to my first PyCon, and it was a really eye-opening experience to get that great vibe of being around smart people who are all, you know, very passionate about it and interested in it and had interesting ideas and things to say about it. So that's really what motivated me to just stop punching hours and really embrace Python.
It kind of forever changes your outlook on programming, right? It's no longer kind of this boring thing. I guess it never really was boring, but
yeah, if it's boring, you're doing something wrong, or you're working for an insurance company. Maybe, I don't know.
Or a small web design firm that doesn't really comprehend the web. But I don't know, the community's awesome, and events like PyOhio, which we've actually got a podcast episode coming out on pretty soon, are really cool events, and getting to kind of hang out with smart people and do some sprinting and hear some talks, it's kind of an awesome thing. Very, very happy.
So something else that makes me really happy about Python is duck typing. Because I was a big fan of the strategy pattern back in the day, and the whole duck typing thing really makes that very easy and natural to implement.
And also the Liskov substitution principle from Solid Code kind of really describes what describes Python, because even though it kind of talks about subtyping and makes a little bit of a issue of that, I think really it's design by contract, which is duck typing in Python. So, you know, one of the core tenets of the Python language is part of Solid Code.
So, Liskov's substitution principle. Tell us more about that, because maybe not everybody in the world is hip to that.
Well, I'm going to totally fail if I try the formal definition, so I won't. But at its basic, at the basis of it, it says that if something looks the same as something else, then it kind of is a subtype of that thing, and it should be substitutable for anything like it. So if we're talking about, say, a keyboard. Any type of keyboard should kind of fit the same bill of being able to input characters and behave similarly.
Oh, gotcha. It's ducks.
Yeah, it's ducks.
Awesome. So, yeah, that I think then very easily lends itself into being plugged and played with by dependency injection techniques and frameworks like that.
It definitely makes it really easy to do DI, because you don't really have to think like in Python about interfaces or subtypes or abstract-based classes. You can totally just throw something that behaves the same into a piece of code that expects some behavior, and you're good to go.
It also makes writing testable code much easier. I love automated tests, and you should too. Check out Nose, Mock, and Dingus.
That is awesome and lovely and wonderful. And happy.
And happy.
And happy.
Wow, I have just drawn a complete blank. I'm looking up at the sky, and half of the sky is clouds for a storm that should be rolling in sometime after midnight, and the other half of the sky is just an explosion of stars everywhere, deep into the night sky. Really the kind of sky that I haven't seen in years. I grew up in Colorado and had skies like this all the time, and since coming to Cleveland, where the sky is usually orange at night, you don't really get this anymore. So this is kind of a treat.
Yeah, they're really, I mean, it's pitch black out here. You can hear the ocean in the background and kind of amazing view up there.
So, oh, hang on a second. Corey's saying something. What did Corey say?
That if you can hear the ocean, you have really good hearing.
Yeah, if you can hear the ocean, you have really good hearing on this. Well, we can walk down there in a little bit and do some field recording, I guess.
Mike has completely missed Corey's point here.
Well, yeah, not the ocean, Lake Michigan, but kind of like the ocean. It goes up and down and makes splashy noises, and there's a lot of water.
There's a small place in the far east of Canada where the Great Lakes connect to a big body of water. Not really sure what it's called. It's something between the continents. Anyhow, I think some of that water.
That's a pond, right?
Oh yeah, that's the big pond. Never mind. I was really poorly trying to make a joke about pedantry, but the margaritas have interfered with that.
As they are wont to do. This might be an excellent point to take a break. Yay, and we're back. And we still don't know what the heck to say. So I guess if you're on vacation, you're on vacation from everything. We just thought it would be fun to do a podcast from the beach.
Totally. And now that the mosquitoes are out, though, I think it's... now that the DEET cloud has worn off, I think it's about time to close this episode down.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that the house behind us is firing Roman candles over our heads. So before we get hit with too much shrapnel and before the storm rolls in, although the clouds have gone somewhat retrograde in their advance.
Yeah, it's kind of backed off. Maybe
flanking maneuver of some kind, perhaps.
I'm certain it's sneaking behind us.
Yeah. Stars are out. It's a beautiful night to everyone in America. Happy Independence Day to any British listeners out there. Sorry, no hard feelings. our football teams both lost, so maybe we can share that as a part of the special bond between our nations.
I think we can share a beer in honor of both of our football teams losing.
So I guess we'll wrap it up. This is Mike Piernot.
And Mike Crute.
So yeah, we're on vacation.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's it from the beach.
Snakes on a beach.
Code Monkey have every reason to get out this place. Code Monkey just keep on working. See your soft pretty face. Much rather wake up, eat a coffee cake, take bath, take nap. This job fulfilling in creative way, such a load of crap. Code Monkey thinks someday he have everything, even pretty girl like you. Code Monkey just waiting for now. Code Monkey says someday, monkey how. Code Monkey like Fritos. Code Monkey like Cab and Mountain Dew. Code Monkey very simple man, big warm fuzzy secret heart. Code Monkey like you. Code Monkey like you.
And out.
This podcast has been released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. The theme song for this podcast is the Kristen Schertz remix of Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. Learn more about him at jonathancolton.com. To learn more about us or to catch up on past shows, please visit us at frompythonimportpodcast.com. End of line.
Recording now. You want me to hand it to you?
Or? Well, we usually do the lead in afterwards. So
you
just
did the lead in afterwards. Well, okay then. Oh, slide to unlock. Awesome. And now my controls are upside down. Whee!